Now, any of you that are in any form of community, be it a family, be it a church, know that unity is not easy. It's hard to know how to disagree in love and how to love those with whom we disagree. We might agree with the poet who wrote, "Well, to dwell with the saints above are the saints we love. That will be grace and glory. To live below with the saints we know, well, that's another story." And isn't it true? To live below with the saints we know, that is another story. And Jesus understood that so clearly that right before his passion, St. John records a whole chapter that is his high priestly prayer. This is Jesus' prayer, so to speak, of consecration as he prepares to offer himself to the Father. And I would invite you, I know we've been reading it all week, but take some time today or this weekend to go through chapter 17 and see how it is beautifully divided into three parts. In the first part of the prayer, verses 1 to 5, Jesus is talking about his relationship with the Father and the glory that he has shared with the Father from all of eternity. From verses 6 to 19, he talks specifically about the apostles, those men whom he will send out into the world with the message of the gospel. And I love how in the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts begins in chapter 1 with the founding of the church in Jerusalem. But as we heard in today's reading from Acts, St. Paul knows that he will go to Rome. And do you know where the Acts of the Apostles ends in chapter 28? In Rome. Isn't that beautiful? The church was founded by Jesus in Jerusalem, but it is from Rome that the church will then be governed for all of time. And there it is in the Acts of the Apostles. Now, the third part of our prayer, which we heard today, begins at verse 20, going through to the end of verse 26. And here Jesus' focus is on you and me, on all of those who, because the church was founded in Jerusalem, is then governed from Rome, the message will go out to all the world. And I want to focus on two words that govern John 17, and they are the words sent and one. Sent and one. Repeatedly in John 17, Jesus uses the verb sent. Let me quote the first place where we hear it. "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Now, the word sent in Greek is the word apostolos. Apostolos, from which we get the word apostle. Who is the first apostle? It is Jesus. The Father sent him into the world so that we could come to believe. Now, in the next part of the prayer, at verse 8, he talks specifically about those who will be his first apostles, the ones he will send. And listen to what he says. "The words that you gave me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you have sent me." Remember what it says in John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word came into the world." Now he is saying that the apostles are those who have received my words, and that they know in truth that you have sent me. This is fundamentally important. You and I have to have an undying conviction. We have to believe with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our life, that the Father sent Jesus into the world. Now, there are many of your neighbors, perhaps most of your neighbors, who do not believe this. There are many in your family, perhaps most in your family, who do not believe this. It doesn't matter at one level, because what matters is what you understand, what I understand. Because you see, the church can only live out her mission if those who are her members truly believe in the words of Jesus Christ. And what happens when we have this deep conviction of mind and heart? Well, listen to the next time Jesus uses the verb sent. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. This is the heart of the gospel. And this is what we see at the end of Acts chapter 28. From Rome, the gospel goes out to the whole world. You know that when Vatican II was held back in the 1960s, there were just over 2,200 bishops in the Catholic Church. Today, there are over 4,000. What does that mean? That means that the Catholic Church is growing. It means that we need more and more successors of the apostles because the message is being sent farther and farther and farther and farther into the world. And this is of such importance. And this is where we come to our second word, the unity of the church. For you see, it is only as the church is apostolic and we understand the continuity from the beginning that has continued to grow down through the centuries that we can hear what Jesus says to you and me in verses 20 and following. And I want to quote now these verses. Listen carefully to each time the word unity and sent are used. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world will know that you have sent me. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Up until this point, Jesus has been talking about the apostles knowing that he has been sent by the Father. This is the first time he refers to the world. And in John's gospel, the world is the definition of that realm that is in opposition to Jesus Christ. And it's striking that Jesus says the only way the world will know that the Father has sent the Son is by the church's unity. And then it goes on to say, or Jesus goes on to say, righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. The apostolic mission of the church is tied fundamentally to the church's unity. Now, the good news is the church is always new with every generation. And we have been coming through a terrible time in the church. Bishop Barron says that the sex abuse scandal is diabolical. And the word diabolos means to tear apart. That's the meaning of the word. It's the exact opposite of the word Catholic. But what we are called to be about here at St. Peter's, what I'm called to be about as your pastor, is to help you to know Jesus, is for me to come to know Jesus and his word and his teaching with greater clarity, because this is what has to happen in your life and mine. And the place where we have the most influence is right here. That we need to come to a deeper conversion to Jesus Christ, a deeper love for his word. And as we come to that deeper conversion to Jesus, we become more deeply converted to his church. You are to love the Catholic Church. You're to love the Catholic Church with the love that you have for your spouse. You're to love the Catholic Church with the love that you have for your children. You are to love the Catholic Church because we are the body of Christ in the world today. And the deeper we love the church, we will sacrifice everything for her unity. We will do all that we can to ensure that St. Peter's is a community that is centered in Christ. We will do all that we can to live in such a way that you and me, saints in the making, those who are still here below, that we're going to say, with you I will live this journey. With you I will walk. Because it's together that we share in the story of Jesus's unifying love. I am so thankful for the Catholic Church because it is the only way that the world will know that Jesus has been sent. May we be recommitted to working for the Church's unity, for it is our Lord's prayer.